From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Judges. The opening verses of chapter 6 recount God's raising up of Gideon at a time when Israel was in bondage to the Midianites. Verses 11 through 35 of the chapter reveal that in seeking God for revival, the first battle must be against the foe within. Israel was sunk in Baal worship, and that had begun with Gideon's own father, who had built an altar to that heathen god. Gideon's first assignment was to tear down that altar and build an altar to the true and living God. And of course, that act aroused the opposition of the enemy. As soon as the people of God begin to seek the Lord in earnest, the armies of Satan will raise their opposition. When Gideon and the children of Israel obeyed God, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the result was a great victory. This is the divine pattern, and it will work today. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message called Institution of Revival. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Plead His Own Promise. The text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 29. Thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. This is a promise pleaded, and so it yields double instruction to us. Anything which the Lord God has spoken, we should receive as surely true, and then plead it at the throne. Oh, how sweet to quote what our own God has spoken! How precious to use a therefore which the promise suggests, as David does in this verse. We do not pray because we doubt, but because we believe. To pray unbelievingly is unbecoming in the Lord's children. No, Lord, we cannot doubt thee. We are persuaded that every word of thine is a sure foundation for the boldest expectation. We come to thee and say, Do as thou hast said. Bless thy servant's house. Heal our sick. Save our hesitating ones. Restore those who wander. Confirm those who live in thy fear. Lord, give us food and raiment according to thy word. Prosper our undertakings. Especially succeed our endeavors to make known thy gospel in our neighborhood. Make our servants thy servants, our children thy children. Let the blessing flow on to future generations, and as long as any of our race remains on earth, may they remain true to thee. O Lord God, let the house of thy servant be blessed.
Shine, you children of God.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
individual Christian can't fight the battle on the inside, when God's people are living corrupt lives, when those who profess grace are making grace a cloak for ungodliness, then the devil has it all his own way. But when God's people get right and they obtain a new power, then the battle lines will be drawn, and then you'll have the head-on collision with the humanists, the abortionists, the sodomites, the new agers, the ecumeniacs, and all the rest of the maniacs. You'll have them there. The lines will be drawn, and we will fight the battle with the enemy without. Now, we must always fight that battle. I don't want to be misunderstood. In the book of Judges, there is a strict chronological order. You fight one battle, then another. In the spiritual counterpart, there is a logical, not a chronological order. In other words, you will chronologically fight the two battles simultaneously. But logically and spiritually, you must get the victory on the inside before you start to do anything for God on the outside. You will have to fight the Midianites. We better just get it into our hearts and into our heads that there's no cozy Christianity for us. Especially as we hurtle toward the end of the age, as the great climactic forces that are at work in these days preceding the coming of the Lord, whenever that will be, as these great forces are at work, we will find there is no settling back for God's people. There is no cozy Christianity. Rather, we must have the battle lines drawn. Now, what did he do? He blew the trumpet. Verse 34. The Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. He blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. I like that. You see, revival, when it starts, has this high point of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And when that happens, everything else is purely academic. Midian had no more chance of winning after the Holy Spirit was poured out than they could have won had they been fighting an army of angels. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, notice the first thing that happened. He blew the trumpet. Do you remember when we were studying Numbers chapter 10, we dealt with the silver trumpets? I think probably here it was more like a ram's horn that he blew, but the idea was exactly the same. As the trumpet was blown, the gospel was sounded in the power of the Holy Spirit. See it very, very clearly. Gideon dealt with God alone, and God dealt with Gideon. Gideon got right with God, threw down the altar of Baal. Gideon built the altar of the Lord. He placed the sacrifice thereon. Gideon confronted the apostasy in his own heart, in his own home. Then, when the enemy came, Gideon blew the trumpet of the gospel. What happened? God blessed it with the outpoured spirit, and the people were gathered in. That's a picture that I would love to see fulfilled in our day. As the gospel is preached, as the spirit is poured forth, God gathering the people in. There is here a gathering of the foes. Then there's a gathering of the faithful. And as those two great armies came face to face, the Holy Ghost came down, and as you'll see as you read on in the sequel, God gave a tremendous victory. I would love to see the day when the Hollywood crowd is on the run. I'm about sick, sore, and tired of every stupid, wicked editor, be it of a newspaper or a TV or a radio news program, who's bombarding the youth and indeed others, the whole people of America, with the views of the wickedest, foulest, most immoral men and women in this country, namely your run-of-the-mill Hollywood hacks. And because some filthy adulteress who happens to have her face in celluloid happens to think that it's right to kill the unborn, it must be right, because that adulteress says it so. Or because some sodomite actor feels that it is his constitutional right to infect this society with his hellish sodomy, we are bombarded with his views, and it must be right. Man, I'm looking forward to the day when that army is on the run. And God, our God, can do it. I am even more sickened by the constant lining up of the forces of the apostasy. You know, whatever the devil wants to do, he can find some bunch of apostate ministers to stand up and in the name of Jesus Christ say, it's all right. The People for the American Way, which is really a misnomer for their People for the Devil's Way. The People for the American Way always put forth as their number one statesman, not the atheist who finances it, not the out-and-out blasphemer who is constantly furthering their aims, but an apostate Protestant minister who is forever telling people that Christianity demands this and demands the other, when all the time, all he is a captain in the army of his King Lucifer. That's all. What a day when we see that Midianitish force turn to flight. How can it be done? I come back full circle. It can be done A, when individual Christians are willing to get alone with God as Gideon. When individual churches are willing to get alone with God and get right in the things that really matter. There will be the beginning of a change in our power to fight the battle with the enemy without, when we have learned to fight the battle with the enemy within, and not until then. May God give us what Gideon had, a meeting with heaven, an experience of power, an endowment of the Spirit, a backbone like cast iron. I like Gideon when God met with him. At first, shy, retiring, Lord, not me. But when God met with him, when he saw the blood and the fire, my, he was immovable. May God give us that experience, and may he make us more than conquerors. Don't feel that we're in a day when the Lord can do nothing. Give up the foolish notion of that you can read God's prophetic timetable. You can't, and neither can I. Christ is coming, of that I'm sure. Many of you think he's coming before the tribulation. I think you're wrong. I think he's coming immediately after the tribulation, according to Matthew 24:29. And he's only coming back once, so that's it. But I'm not going to fight with you about that. He's coming back. That's all there is to it. He's coming back. I don't know when he's coming back. If you're right and I'm wrong and he comes back tonight, listen, I'll be the first to clap you in the back and say hello to you on the way up. I don't know when he's coming. But I do refuse the notion that says we're so near the end that there's nothing to do but look up and don't get worried about fighting the battles of the day. We can't see anything done. Do you know they were saying that in the days of Oliver Cromwell? Do you realize that the people who had the greatest insight into eschatology in Puritan days, at least according to their own estimation, were crying that the next monarchy is Christ's monarchy, and so therefore forget about everything else. They were a thorn in the side of Oliver Cromwell, and in fact they sabotaged the great Puritan revolution. Now if you know anything about history, you'll know that Oliver Cromwell was not born yesterday or the day before. You're talking about the 17th century, people saying Christ's coming is just around the corner. All the signs are pointing to it. Can't expect anything more. Nonsense. Let the Lord come when he will, and let us be ready for his coming. And let us say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let us haste his coming by living in holiness and separation unto him. But let us learn when he comes, he's coming for a church on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of a church he's coming for. A church purged by the fire of persecution and the world's hatred. A church that has fought the enemy on the inside and is fighting the enemy on the outside. Don't fall for the lie that there's nothing that we can see done. Our God is on the throne. Our God is able. Let us pray that the God of Gideon will be the God of his people today with the same power and with the same result. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, speak to every waiting heart. Speak to souls who need tonight to be restored to thee. Speak to those who have never known thee, who have gone after Baal. And O God, our Father, we pray that this night thou wilt start a work of revival here. Lord, deal with the enemy on the inside. Oh God, we freely confess that the bitterest battles have to be fought in the loneliness of our own heart. We confess, our God, that the enemy on the inside is much more potent to destroy our experience of power with God than any enemy from the outside. Oh Father in heaven, get us to the place thou didst bring Gideon. Oh Lord, bring us to that place where alone we will fight that battle. Lord, bring us to the place of personal victory. Then bring us to the place of public usefulness. Do it for this church. Lord, make us useful to God. Make us useful in the cause of Christ, in the saving of souls, in opposing the great forces of anti-Christianity in these days. Lord, make us useful in that. But, oh God, start in this place and give us the blessing that comes from communion with thee. And as we blow the trumpet, Lord, let it sound throughout the length and breadth of this land and call thy saints to a full surrender and consecrated walk. And grant, O Lord, that across the nation there will again be the time of victory, the time of blessing, the time when the church is on the march when the morals of the nation are formed not by the idols of the Hollywood screen, but formed by the power of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Lord, do it, we pray. Thou art able. We submit our cause to Thee, for it is Thy cause. Thine be the glory in answering these our prayers. Hear us now. Part us with Thy blessing. Keep us in Thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all Thy blood-bought church, both this Sabbath evening and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all His glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.